This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Hello, welcome to Highly Social. I'm your host, Mike Eaton. Today, we are brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, The Creek and the Cave. Creek and the Cave, best comedy club in the whole goddamn world. It's everywhere. It's better than anything that's ever been. It purported to be a comedy club. It's not Chuckle Fucks. It's Creek and the Cave. Open mics every day, shows every day. There's stuff to do all the time. There's even naked cowboys sometimes, I think. And then other various things. And coming soon, brunch. Whoa. Also brought to you by Crescent Canna. Use code Eaton for 10% off site wide. Crescent-canna.com. And last but not least, merch alert. I am down to my last like 6 shirts. So if you're a small, I don't know how you accomplish that as an adult, but let me know. I got shirts. I'll do a discount. And I got 6 of the hats left. So new hats coming soon. Buy that shit. And time for the show. Today, we're joined by a returning guest. It's the amazing Wes Barker. Welcome.
Up? Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here.
I came back without Chris Ramsey this time, so it's going to be a better show.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. No, RIP for sure.
Someone sent him an IED and said it was a puzzle. And he was just like, well, you put this here and then explode it. We're like, no, Chris.
Clearly the pin comes out of the grenade. That would be so funny.
That would be just the saddest way.
I think pitching that to him as a sketch, I think you would drop that as a short. That'd be very fucking funny.
That would be a very funny misdirect.
Okay, we're going to send him that. That's fucking, he'll love that. Fuck that guy. Anyways, yeah. I'm Wes Barker. I'm better than that dude. Yeah. He's got 7 million fans. He doesn't need one more.
He doesn't need it.
In fact, if you are a fan of Chris Ramsey, you unsubscribe to him, you go subscribe to me. You take from him and you give to me.
Yeah.
In fact, one to me and Mike.
Yeah.
Fuck Chris.
In fact, two.
Yeah.
You create a second account and subscribe to both of us with
it. We don't stop till everyone has 2 million. Fuck his 7.
Yes.
There you go.
Everyone. He has to lose 5 million.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we have to each gain 2 million. Yeah. About.
I used to always introduce us to be like, oh, are you guys a duo act? I'm like, yeah, together we have 7 million followers. And they're like, wow. And then he hates that.
Yeah, of course.
So he would have to be like, well, I have. And then you sound like an asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Perfect. It's my favorite thing.
That's such a fun
I love it
goof
so much.
To do.
Anyways, I'm a magician. If you don't know me, welcome everybody.
Yeah,
this is my favorite podcast to be on in Austin in Cali Creek Kitten Cave.
Yeah,
they're doing brunch. That's aggressive. Business is collapsing, I guess. Hey,
no,
if you had brunch in your comedy club, that's bad.
I don't know if it's bad.
I have no idea.
I'm hosting a brunch show on Sunday.
Oh no, the brunch is great.
They're doing puff pastry eggs Benedict. So I have a tough time saying anything negative about that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Is that this Sunday?
Yeah.
Can I come?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Puff pastry.
I like when clubs try and do not just the same Thursday, Friday, Saturday shows.
Yeah.
And Creek has a lot. Like, we have tons of independent programming. There's so much of these independently produced shows that are here, like Litty Titty, our gong show.
Right.
That Allison runs on Tuesdays, and then like the Creek featured stuff is produced in house, but it has, you know, great comics from all over. So it's just nice to see the diversity in the lineup, and then adding,
dude, try it all. You never know what's going to be a great idea. You just try everything.
I will say,
it's literally my career.
I have only had fun before 4 p.m. on stage, like twice ever.
Right.
Yeah. It's just there's something about comedy. If it's daytime.
Yeah. Last year,
it's hard to hear the word rape.
Last year,
2:30.
Last year, I did like a noon outdoor show in the day. Because exactly.
Yeah,
I was like, why? I had to remind myself so many times, like, no, they paid.
Yeah.
And then they said, and they paid the amount you said they would never pay.
Yeah.
And you're like, but this is going to be, and it was for 30 people with barbecues.
Yes.
And they're looking at me like, what is he doing?
Yes.
I was like trying so hard. I'm sweating, screaming into the mic. I'm like, if I get louder, this will be better.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, not at all.
You can't force it.
It's so fun to see. There's like a set of circumstances that are ideal for every performance.
Yeah.
And for like stand up, it's a dark room, bright stage, it's cold, compact,
tight,
low ceilings. I think it's Dimitri Martin that says the best rooms for stand-up are the worst rooms for a fire.
Oh, so it's wow. That's such a good way to put it.
It's just like that's what's perfect for comedy. And the more of each of those elements that you take away, the lower you, I mean, even if you have an unbelievable, out of this world, just killer set, just a mediocre open micer could have a better set at an ideal conditioned place. I have to imagine it's the same for magic.
100% the same.
I mean, and maybe more so because of viewing angles.
Angles are huge, It's like some of the best comedy clubs that people are like rave about I go to. I'm like, oh, dope. I get booked there and I go, fuck. Like these angles are rough.
Yeah.
Like even you, if you play the little boy at the mothership, if you look left and right there, that's hard, man. Even if the trick isn't boned by angles, you're like, they still won't see the reveal at the same time. I have to turn still. So it's still splitting the audience into like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's like this wave effect where, but like, thank God, like whenever I'm in rooms like that, I'm like, I'm going to lean so heavy on the funny.
Yeah.
Because laughs will happen at the same time for sure.
Laughs go across.
But like, it's not my ideal, obviously.
Yeah. I noticed that when I was at the Magic Castle, the way that all of the rooms were set to such a fine point.
Yeah.
The viewing angles were all very carefully.
Totally.
You know, directed. And then like for all of the close up stuff, they managed how many people were at each table for
it's
that.
Yeah. And then like some of the rooms, there's like, it's such like a steep rake and they're like, we're gonna jam 40 people, but we're going to put you in like these weird bleachers that are unnecessary. But for magic, it's like so perfect. You are never seeing the guy's head in front of you. You've got a clear view.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
You're like, this is so only the, you would not do if you're magic or like, cooking class. The only two times you ever sit like that.
Man, what a crossover.
It's the only time you need to see the table.
If you're doing high level yo-yo tricks.
Well, there's a trick I've been doing a lot lately in my act where I end up lying on the ground.
Okay.
And so many venues, I am literally out of sight for 90% of the audience. I'm like on the ground. Like, if you have to stand up, please stand up for the next 1 minute. And there's, I can just hear so many people be like, I can't see shit. It's so,
that rules.
I've watched it back on Get My Guys to Film It. And I'm like, wow, I just disappear. You just hear me talking slowly. Nothing on stage.
That's awesome.
It's like, sorry.
That's a very fun trick to pull for. Look, I disappeared.
Yeah, truly. I can just
no
do
one
that.
In the back can see me.
Oh, fuck.
Eat your heart out, David Blaine.
Honestly. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So where have you been performing recently?
I've been like doing a lot of like my U.S. visa's been renewed since last year. I've been touring a little bit in the States, you know, and I got more.
Where's the worst place you've been?
The worst place I've been is St. Louis.
Yeah, okay.
Because
tell me more.
We had to cancel. The only show I've ever had to cancel.
Oh, no.
Because we didn't sell enough tickets.
Oh, no.
They're like, there's only 18 tickets sold.
There's
I'm
no
like,
magic.
God damn.
Oh, St.
So
Louis.
I had to bounce out of that one, which really sucked because I've never, ever had to cancel a show for low ticket sales.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for 12 years.
That's
so
wild.
I was like, whoa. Out of all the shitholes and big cities and every country I've been, everywhere.
Was there something crazy going on? Was there a Cardinals game
or
something?
No, like, they just like, everyone in St. Louis was like, I don't want to see this guy.
We hate him.
Yeah, it sucked.
Wild.
I don't know. So I'm going to try it again. It must have just been bad marketing on my part.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. It's the...
Because everywhere else is fine.
It's so hard to get people's attention now. And ticket sales are... I mean, I talked to touring comics that spend so many thousands of dollars on marketing to just barely make their money back on selling out stuff with bonuses. Yeah,
it can be crazy. So, yeah, I've been really lucky. And, you know, I have shows in Tampa coming up that are selling well, Chicago selling well. I just did Arlington, Vermont. I did Burlington, Vermont. And
Burlington, Vermont.
And then
Let's
Arlington,
go.
Virginia. I did Burlington, Arlington. Did the Ingtons. And they both sold great. So I've been throwing darts at the map. And it's been selling well. And then I hit St. Louis and nothing.
How was Burlington?
So fucking amazing.
Really?
Dude, like, I don't think
I almost went to college there.
It was so incredible. I'd never even been. And that it sold out so good. Like high ticket price there because it was only like 170 seats.
Yeah.
So it was like the tickets were like 40 something.
And what's the venue like?
And it was just like, it was the room under their big theater. So they have a big theater that holds 500. Mm-hmm. And downstairs they have like, it's much more of a comedy club look, like low ceilings. And it holds like 170 jam packed.
Okay.
And I had the ticket price, I think it was set 40 plus ticket price. And it sold out so fast. I'm like, I should have done upstairs.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And I got there. I'm like, these are not my people. and they were so my people. I couldn't even believe it. There's like kids there, and I'm like, I thought there was no kid. There's like five kids. Yeah. They're like under the age of 10, and I went to the parents. I'm like, hey, what the hell? Like, you can't. There's no. It's not supposed to be kids. And they're like, well, there's no legal age limit in this venue, right? I'm like, oh, that's true. There's an age recommendation on the tickets, but there's no legal age in the venue, right?
So our kids are watching.
Exactly. And I said, well, they can't be in the front row because I can't look at them when I do the things I do. I'm not a grown man talking about dicks, looking at your 9-year-old daughter getting hard.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't handle that.
Yeah, I'm not doing
it. I'll be ruined.
So we sent him to the back.
She can come backstage.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And Chris Ramsey was opening for me in that show too, and he was freaking out.
Yeah.
And we both absolutely crushed, and the kids were totally fine.
Wow.
But I just didn't want to make eye contact with them.
No.
Because like I literally have a trick in my show called Total Combined Dick Length, where I have five grown men on stage telling me how long their dicks are.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's just, you can't do that to a 9-year-old girl in the front row. That's just too much.
Come up and help me measure.
Yeah, literally.
Dude, kids are the worst.
Yeah. I tour a lot with a comic named Simon King. And we do this show together called The Very Big Show. And we split it right in the middle. He does half stand-up. I do half magic. And when there's kids, I adjust and it's okay. Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, you can't. Mm-hmm. And some shows, if they see the word magic, they will ignore every other text.
Yes.
And they will bring a 10-year-old. Every show, we have 5 10-year-olds.
Yes.
And he loses his mind.
Is that what he's got into it for?
He's a very dark comic and he's awesome. So yeah, we have people walk out. And that doesn't look good.
No.
But you're like, well, they're kids. He had one. He killed this one night. We're doing the 700-seat show in Fredericton, Canada. He's murdering, right? And he's like, comes back and he's like, he was so pumped because it was killer, right? But it's 700 seats. You can't really see what's going on in the back.
Yeah.
What's going on in the back is partway through 2 separate families that had kids, I guess, there. The kids are bawling their eyes out. And they're being escorted out. And it's so big that he can't tell. So like he killed, objectively killed. And afterwards he was so flying high. And I'm like telling the opening act, I'm like, what? Like, let's just give him a few minutes to enjoy it before we get to watch him hear about this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you made a girl cry. You made 2 girls cry.
Made children weep.
It was my favorite.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's such a big heart. He was like, no. I'm like, yeah.
Man, I don't know that I've made anybody cry yet.
You gotta invite more kids to your show, dude.
It's very hard to advertise.
What about your parents? Did you tell them you're a comedian?
Yeah.
They didn't cry?
I think that they might be retarded. They're both proud. It's weird.
Nice. Well, this is their month.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to go, Tardos. They should. I have retard pride. I've come out as Down syndrome multiple times.
Good.
LGBT is how I do the alphabet.
I'm retarded. That's pretty funny. Fuck, that's good.
So how long do you get to stay? I don't know any of visa stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you're from a white country, so you should just be allowed to stay forever.
Canadians, man. Like, I think Canada, so too.
It's like,
I agree.
This is basically just vacation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You want to help the economy? Come on over, pal.
Like if we just bring you some of our water, will you just let us in?
Yeah,
like Jesus Christ.
How is Ryan Reynolds still here?
I don't know.
He lives here.
I don't know.
So I don't know how any of it works.
Yeah, if you get a green card, mm-hmm. you have to live here, right? Mm. And I don't think I can afford to live here full time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you have to always pay rent here. And I was like, my buddy has a green card and he's like, yeah, he's like, and then his wife got pregnant and she lives in Canada. And he's like, I just pay 2 rents now permanently.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And he's like, I have my O-1, which O-1 visa means I can work unlimited in the States.
Okay.
I can do anything. I have the same, any actor, this Canadian or whoever would have this visa.
Yes.
But you have to renew it every 3 years.
Oh.
And it's a pain in the ass. So much paperwork and it costs like $5,000.
Oof.
Right? So this is my second one I've had. The first one I got 6 months before COVID.
Oh,
and then
God,
I couldn't use it for 2 full years.
Yeah.
And then
no refunds.
And no refunds. So when they're like, you can use your visa again, there's like 5 months left on it. I'm like, sweet.
Thanks, guys.
And they're like, we can just pay again. I'm like, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
But I'm good now for the next little bit. And I moved to Austin. I am doing the thing where I'm paying 2 rents.
So yeah.
I'm in Austin and I'm still paying the Toronto one because my wife still works there.
Fair.
So I'm kind of trying that life, which might be weird, but mm-hmm. my visa is good for more than 2 years still, right? Like I'm just like, let's make the most of it.
Yeah, and, might as well.
And again, I don't really need to live here to book shows here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, there's no sense in I like moving to places where there's talented people. It creates a sense of urgency, mm-hmm. and it makes you want to be better. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not knocking. There's great comics in Vancouver where I'm from, Toronto where I live, of course. But it's just not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say it without sounding like a fucking asshole.
People move from Japan to America to play baseball.
Yeah.
They're crazy fanatic yeah. about baseball there, and there's great baseball yeah. players, but it's just, this is the big leagues.
It really does feel like that in a way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck it. And I wanted to be one of the Canadian entertainers. Was like, I didn't have to leave, and I didn't. I could have had a great life the rest of my life there, but I'm like, fuck it, what if? And I'm
yeah,
like,
why not?
Why not? I can't, I'm 38. Why would I can't peak already?
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Be terrible.
If I'm you're on Chris the downhill, Ramsey.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah,
so that's my plan. So I come here, I come on Highly Social, mm-hmm. everyone sees it, mm-hmm. I blow up tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
That's my plan.
Well, the board has been taken down, but it used to yeah. show that I get 70s of views.
Dude, that is incredible. Yeah, because I got advice the other day, they're like, don't do all the podcasts you get to Austin, just do the big ones.
Yeah.
So I was like, and then you're like, you want to do one? I'm like, this
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
There's the call.
Hey,
look, Giggle Boys had Casey Rocket on before anyone else.
That's
in,
true.
In Austin.
And he is so, doing, like, he's a.
Don't want to take credit.
He's a phenom now. I yeah. mean.
No, yeah. he.
Proof you can get booked not being funny.
Dude, he's one of those people
one
that.
Of a kind, dude.
Like we were talking about before, that does comedy in such a different way.
Yes.
Where you see it and you're like, oh, what the fuck am I doing?
Okay. I swear to God, guys like Casey Rocket. And Attell's latest special. Mm-hmm. These are things, Dimitri Martin's always, but his also his latest special, are things that are making it so, I'm getting so much happier because we're getting closer to people understanding what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like I see Casey props coming out. Attell closed the last special with his fucking, he's got a prop on stage now. Mm-hmm. Dimitri Martin always has props. I'm like, this is so nice.
Have you watched Stamp Town at all?
No. What's this?
Dog, you are going to love this.
Can't wait.
So I don't know if his name is actually Jack Tucker or Zach Zucker.
Okay.
But it's one of those. And he's got like, I think it's
everybody
like a.
Everybody likes to use this word. An impossible.
What is. Everybody likes to use this word. Impossible. That's so funny.
So I was like, whoa, what's happening?
So I had never heard of it.
Okay.
And it was here for South By this yeah. year. And when I have people that like, especially like the bartenders here or people that work in clubs
yeah.
that are excited about a comedy show, I always make a point to go see that show because they see all of the stuff. They see more comedy than comedians. They're there 5-6 days a week, and yeah. they see all of the fucking open mics and the shows. And so, like, it really takes something special to get their attention. And I had multiple people tell me to come check out the show. So there's a dude up top that, like, rollerblades around and does, like, lots of gay singing. And then this Zach Zucker guy gets up, and he has a sound guy who is just as much as part of it as he is. And they're improvising back and forth with sound bits and gags, and he's doing physical comedy. He went to, like, clown school.
Oh,
so
wow.
he has a bunch of – it's not – like, he eats the microphone sometimes and then spits on the stage. I mean, it's – he's really – it's in the same vein as Casey, but it's a little more – theatrical,
yeah,
I guess.
Okay.
And it's unbelievable. It's yeah. so fucking. And so Stamp Town is the like variety show that he hosts, and so then he has multiple comedians come up. But when I see stuff like that, I'm like, oh, this is a perfect thing for like Wes to come do.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I'm totally into that. In some aspect, it's nice when it's just a straight comedy show, and then I'm on.
Yes.
Because the expectation of the audience is so. Subverted because they didn't expect to see any kind of tricks or what the fuck is happening. Mm-hmm. That's like super. That's a layup for me.
Yeah.
If I'm on a comedy show, and they're like they don't mention anything,
yeah.
and I can just come up,
and
buddy,
just do it, yeah.
I'm about to fucking murder. I don't care who I'm following because I got
you're
literally
totally
a bag of
yeah.
tricks.
Yeah.
But when it's a variety show, the stakes are higher because mm-hmm. it's good. They know they're going to see weird shit, but mm-hmm. I love it. And I'm all about, I'm like, sure, stand-up is always going to be stand-up, but a comedian can be so many things.
Yeah.
Right? So when whatever you're making people laugh, I love it. So when I see people like Casey taking off, I'm like so excited.
Yeah, it's cool.
Because like, people are – and I think back in the day, people knew there was lots of ways to laugh. And now for a while there, when writing and stand-up was like the only way, this is what's funny. And now people are being reminded again by – creative fucking geniuses like this that like you can laugh in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited.
It is, it's a dual-edged sword because it's
it gets hacky pretty quickly.
When you put comedian as this all-encompassing term, I've had so many different people in regular conversation tell me their favorite comedian was Chris Farley or Jim Carrey.
Right.
I had a guy
actors
at a wedding tell me that the funniest comedian of all time was Jim Parsons.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm going to kill myself in front of you.
I didn't think about it like that. You're right.
There's already a layman's interpretation of what comedy is. Yeah. And it's so much broader.
Because it's clearly Melissa McCarthy, obviously.
Duh. Yeah. If you don't think Leslie Jones is the ultimate comedian of our age.
Yeah, that sucks. Right.
There's something about that, though, that it's good because you can do anything. And you can go out there and be like, this is what comedy is for me. Do you like it? But then there's also like, I mean, still people will be like, oh, how are your little skits going?
Oh, dude.
It's like, what do you mean little skits? I tell jokes on a stage. What is skits? What are you talking about skits?
You want to hit the most assaulted I was recently?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
I'm in Morocco 2 weeks ago with my wife.
Morocco Mole. I don't know where Morocco is. Yeah.
Morocco's in Northern Africa.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Black?
Like, oh, yeah. Okay. But it's like.
Tan.
It's black, but it's like very like Arab.
Tan.
Yeah.
Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. More Egypt vibes.
Okay. So if this is.
It's on the other coast of Egypt. It's like northwest. So Egypt's on northeast. You want to go northwest.
So northwest is up top left.
Yeah, but it's still above the. It's above the Sahara Desert, right? Yeah. There we go. This is it.
Perfect.
That's way easier to bring it up. Yeah.
Oh, Morocco, they do races.
Yeah. Casablanca.
Racism.
Right? There you go. Yeah.
So and Morocco Bowl. The secret squirrel. Perfect. They probably don't even have squirrels in Morocco.
they definitely don't.
There's no way too much fur. It's a hot place. It's close to the equator. I know geography. There's no way there's moles in Morocco.
There couldn't be, man.
Can you Google if there are moles in Morocco?
There can't be. There's like,
no fucking way.
They would
way.
Never survive.
That's the funny. I've never even thought about how funny it is that he's Morocco rule, and there's no way he's from Morocco.
There's no way.
But he wears the stupid little hat and the glasses.
That is so funny. There can't be.
Yeah, are there moles in Morocco?
Yeah, just ask.
What?
Shut up.
Okay, well, there are shrews, moles, and... What does that say? In the list of mammals of Morocco, that Wikipedia article, the like fifth word in.
Yeah, I see it. Solnodons.
All right.
That one. Oh, I don't know.
Whatever. So, all right. So you're in Morocco amongst moles.
I'm in Morocco with all the moles and shrews and this other word I couldn't pronounce. And we're on this private Sahara Desert 4-day excursion, right? So it's so fucking white people, right? Mm-hmm. We go to this place that's nothing but death. We demand all the luxuries,
yes.
And people bring it to us. And it's the best trip you can ever go on.
I'm into this.
It costs a fucking fortune. But
I'm
you
back
do
out. So, I'm very poor.
So you can do it.
Please buy my hats. I want to go to Morocco so bad. You can I want to see a bowl.
You can do it this like cheap way,
okay.
Or this ballin' way.
Yes.
We're doing it the ballin' way.
Oh,
so it's me, my wife, this other dude and his wife and his kid. Mm. There's five of us.
Selling the
in
kid.
The middle, in the desert.
Yeah.
And so clearly he knows how much he spent on this.
Yeah.
So he must know, since it's just the five of us and all of these people working for us and this fucking palace in the middle of the desert for us.
Yeah.
He must know how much I paid for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we get talking on the first day and he's like, what do you do? And he's like some pilot or whatever. And he's like, what do you do to me? I'm like, I'm a magician. And he goes, I'll give you 50 euros right now to entertain my kid. And I was like, whoa. What a mind bomb, because I'm like, we both spent thousands of dollars.
That's
to
like
be
200
here.
Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, this is my price.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't know that.
Yeah, dick.
But yeah, I was like, I don't entertain kids and not for that amount of money. It was just such a condescending asshole thing to say. I did it, obviously. Yeah. I'm not a fucking psycho. I did it. Right?
Of course. Yeah. But still.
It was brutal.
And then the big move is to like, keep the 50.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Actually, I'll take it. You but know, yeah, I was like, pretend I said, keep it. That's my move.
But don't. Yeah. That's yeah.
It, or take it and do magic. And I have to do like your
mole
it.
From hat. Like, it's not the same as a rabbit. It's a rough out there, dude.
There's no ears to grab.
Yeah, there's nothing. Right?
You pull his little hat.
You
just,
like, you gotta stick it in their eyes and pull them out that way.
Fish hook him. Oh, man.
But yeah, I definitely go to Morocco. It's fun.
Yeah. I have people tell me tell me a joke. That happens fairly frequently. My favorite one.
You don't know any.
Yeah.
I've seen you.
Yeah. I don't.
I've seen your whole hour.
I don't have jokes.
Funny in there.
I say humorous musings, but.
What do you say?
I was in.
You're a comedian. Tell me a joke. What do you say?
No.
Okay, good.
I usually just say it doesn't work like that. Mm. If they're persistent, I'll say. So this last time it backfired on me. I was hanging out, and me and this girl go back to this guy's house. It turns out they're members of the cartel.
Oh.
We were going back to do smelling salts, the drugs. And so we're going to smell drugs there.
Is that a drug?
No, it's a euphemism.
Oh.
Christ almighty.
Oh, cocaine. Oh.
No, I don't do cocaine.
No, smelling salts.
I do euphemism.
I got it.
Anyway, so we're going back to this cartel house or whatever, and we're in the kitchen. And so main dude is a short kind of squat guy, probably 5'6", 250, 260. Yeah. And long, straight hair. Kind of Native American looking, with long straight black hair, and then like a cowboy hat thing going on with lots of shit on it. And then a probably 5'9", 5'10", 160 pounds, skinny, built like an LA cholo. So he's got a Dodgers hat pulled down like this, and like a little goatee. And he's got like the build of like muscle, like, he does murder. Kind of like he's picked up a body in his life. That's the read I get on this guy. It. And then the short fat guy is family of a cartel member. So he's like privileged, chubby goofball.
This is incredible.
So, and then it's me and this girl who's a tattoo artist. So the four of us are hanging out in his very nice house. And then we go into the kitchen and the fat guy pulls out like a huge Bowie knife and he scoops up a bunch of smelling salts on it. And so he's holding the knife up to everyone's face. So his buddy does a bump, girl does a bump, I do one, then he does one. And he's like, so man, say you're a comedian, why don't you tell me a joke?
Holy
and
fuck.
And I was like, nah, man, like I don't, it's not really, it doesn't really like work like that. Yeah. And then he like points the knife pretty close to me and goes, tell me a joke, man.
Oh my God.
And I'm retarded, so I told the only one I have saved up in situations like that, because he's pointing a knife at me. I was like, okay, what did the dick say to the asshole? He goes, what? I go, tell me a joke.
That's super funny.
And the girl and the other guy start laughing, and knife guy goes, I don't get it, man. That's not fucking funny. And I'm like, no, man, because like, you know, it's just like, it doesn't really work like that. And then he points the knife and it gets very close to me. And the other guy reaches over and like some James Bond shit, slaps fat guy's top of his wrist that the knife is in and grabs the knife out of the air and takes it from him and goes, stop pointing knives at people, and takes it back. And then the guy's like, all right, man, well then tell me a fucking joke, and is like shoving up on me. And the other guy and the girl are doing bumps. And I go, you look like the Indian in the cupboard if the cupboard was full of Little Debbie snacks.
So fucking good. Oh, it's perfect. Oh my God.
He got mad for a second. He's like, that's pretty funny. Yeah. But it was just like such a pressure nightmare situation.
Mike, I speak for all 70 people watching right now.
Yeah.
That is a time when you can steal jokes. You can do any joke you ever remember. You don't have to do original material.
Imagine I start doing Mencia bits. Riri. This is best. Dude, so that after that happens, we go back into their living room. And it's the four of us. And I'm like talking. I don't know her like super well. And so we're like kind of talking and we're all smelling salted. And so we're like, nah, 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 and it's, you know, 4 a.m. We've been drinking. And they put on the Ace of Spades music video by Motorhead.
Unbelievable.
and it's not even the music video. It's like a live music thing.
Oh, weird.
So it's a compilation of different live. Because it says Ace of Spades. And there's just two Mexican guys kind of arguing with each other. And then they get into like a serious argument. And then they like they're standing up and yelling at each other. And we're like watching like, oh, man, this is crazy. And then they're talking shit. And I don't. I wish I could remember. I have it written down somewhere because it was just so funny. But one of them is like, well, that's why you were always fucking poor. And it's like, you don't know what it means to be poor. And like fucking just yelling at each other. And then
what?
They get each other and they're like wrestling. And then the fatter guy is pulling on the rosary. Or no, the skinnier guy is pulling on the rosary of the fat guy and is like choking him with it. And the fat guy goes, if you don't let go of my rosary, I'm going to fucking shoot you. And I swear to God, the second he said shoot you, it was like just crystallized all of my perception in my brain. And I just had spidey senses tingle. And I noticed like gun, 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 gun. Like, there's like 8 guns just around and mounted on the walls and everywhere that I just hadn't really registered, I guess, before. And then he said shoot you. And I was like, and then the girl's like, let's get out of here. And I'm like, yeah. So me and her leave the living room, run through the kitchen. She wipes her hand through the smelling salts on the counter.
Wow.
Just like a fucking, just wipes a bunch of it with her. What? And it's like, ah, you know.
What a beauty.
And we open the back door, go into the backyard, close the door behind us. It's now locked. So I'm like, oh, shit. All right. We can't get back in. And then we're looking out and it's 4:35 in the morning. So it's dark, but there's moonlight and it's still and quiet outside. And his backyard is just full of junk and bric-a-brac and just bullshit everywhere. And there's not really even like much room to walk around in it. And there's no gate anywhere. And I'm like, fuck, how do we're locked in the backyard now. We're just trapped. They're going to come out here and shoot us.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play fucking Squid Games amongst the car debris. Yeah. And so I go out and I go to the left and there is a gate, but the gate has a lock on it. And I like kick the door a couple times and it's wagging, but the lock's holding still. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to break down this fucking fuck.
Go so ask then, this guy what his mother's
so
birthday
then
is.
I grab the girl and I boost her over the fence. So she jumps over. I lick some of the smelling salts off of her hand. I'm like, all right, for power. So I grab the top of the fence and I put my foot in that middle crossbeam of the fence to pull myself up. And when I do that, the fence separates from the heavy post. And so it just pushes the fence off. So then I hold the fence back and just squeeze around the side of the gate, then let it snap. It like rips my legs up and stuff. And then we get and drive away. And so I don't go back to that bar or talk to her anymore.
But where is it? I want to go. That sounds amazing.
Yellow Jacket Social Club. It's on the east side. Great Frito pies. Awesome Frozens.
The whole time you're talking there, it sounds like you're in South America.
Yeah.
And you're just down the road.
The east side of Austin. Like 5 minutes from that Airbnb you and Chris had. Like right over there. Yeah. That part of town's crazy, though. It brings out the nutsos.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely crazy. I'm good now.
We were just talking about that the other day. Is that the girl that... She became Shit Girl.
Shit Girl.
She came over. She's famous. Remember Shit Girl? Madam Jubilee?
She's famous.
So she weaseled her way into coming over to hang out with them one night.
Mike tells us, he's like, why'd you bring her? We're like, what? We thought she was with you guys. She's like, no.
Like, we're all standing at the bar at closing, and then they're like, hey, let's go hang out. And we're like, yeah. And then she starts following us and walking with us. We're like, who the fuck are you?
Everyone thought someone else invited her.
Yeah, and she brought like a 55-year-old John with her.
Name Avocado.
Yeah.
And he smelled weird, and he was albino. It was amazing.
It was so, but yeah, we get over there, and she's wearing, you were like letting Eli learn how to get out of a straitjacket.
And I put her in it to shut her up, and then she went to sit by the pool and I had to watch her for half an hour.
She puts it on and then starts making noises like she's coming. She's like, ooh, and then runs outside to by the pool. And we're like, bitch, stop. You're going to drown. She's like, you guys are being crazy.
Next day, we run into her again at a comedy show. And then she's like, where are my shoes?
Yeah.
And we're like, we don't know. And then she's like, you need to know that last night when you guys wouldn't let me stay over, I masturbated outside your front door. And I came so hard, my period started early.
So somewhere there. The Airbnb that hosted them has ring cam footage of this girl coming, just blasting herself on the doorstep and then just gooping blood and then peacing out.
I didn't even ask. Chris probably has it.
It's one of those things where it's like if you don't tell them that that's on the footage and they don't see it, you're kind of in the clear and don't lose any money.
Yeah. But at this point, I think they'd be interested.
But so that all happens and we're like, wow, this bitch is crazy. And then like a month later, she's just eating horse shit on Sixth Street. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
I mean, find your calling. Keep trying something until something works. And that works.
Yeah.
She's the Casey Rocket of what she does.
I'm so glad Casey didn't watch this podcast. He'd probably cry over that. That's so mean.
That's the ultimate roast. I meant it good for her. Not bad for him. Fuck. God damn it. I'm such a... whatever. I don't care.
That's so funny.
God damn it.
So... how can we maximize your America? How do we?
Have you
shot guns?
Yeah.
Have you shot guns here yet?
Yeah.
November, come shoot guns with me.
I'll shoot guns.
We're gonna do a range day again.
Love it.
We go out with Donut Operator and go and shoot.
Yeah, I'm good friends with those boys.
Oh, dude, Cody's the fucking man.
I've been on Unsubscribe podcast like 5 times.
Oh, dude, they're both fucking great. Yeah.
So like every range day they invite me out. I went to one. There was an unofficial range day, and it was Brandon. He let me shoot a 50 cal, and Eli's real homie and Donut.
Eli's the fucking man.
It was so good, man. So they brought me out, and we'll go back for sure anytime. I love those guys are the best.
I met them. I did Jared from Black Rifle.
Yeah,
he has the bar at his house,
right?
And so my buddy Maverick was throwing a show there, so I went and did the show, and then Eli and Cody saw me at the show. And we're like, hey, we're doing a range day in a couple months. You should definitely come out.
That's awesome.
So then I came out and I brought Brett Forte.
Oh, well, fucking great. Excellent.
Because I was like, hey, I have to show a Canadian gun. Yeah. And then he came down and was like,
"How did I didn't know you knew Brett.
I fucking love Brett.
Oh, wow. He's a guy that I was afraid was too good looking.
To be good at comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's funny as fuck.
Dude, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people.
Oh, that's awesome.
The whole Danger Cats crew fucking rips. Yeah. All the stuff he's done with Holtzman out there and filming the people walking out.
Yeah, I've actually not seen, I've lost track of him in the last 5 years, like since I left Vancouver, basically.
Yeah.
That's the only place I ever really hang out with him. Wow, that's cool. Fuck, good for him.
But yeah, so I took Brett to one, and then this last one I took Lemaire and my buddy Germ.
Yeah.
And then my other buddy from my real world, Matt. But, dude, it's the largest private collection of machine guns.
It's insane.
In the world.
Insane.
It's fucking awesome.
And then, last time I went out with them, like, they let us shoot everything. They pull up nonstop. Like, they're like, whatever, we'll bring everything.
It's so cool,
and
dude.
It's so dope. And then they're like, do you know what Tannerite is? I'm like, yeah, I love it. And then I'm like, but Chris doesn't know what Tannerite is. And they're like, no. I'm like, no.
Ooh.
I'm like, you know what's more fun than Tannerite? Surprise Tannerite.
Surprise Tannerite, yes.
So they're like, okay. So I'm like, go stick something on the target out there.
Yeah.
And then just get Chris to shoot at this target. He won't know what the fuck he's aiming at. Yeah. And they're like, okay. And they're like, this is so funny. I'm like, you won't know. I'm like, he will have no clue.
Yeah.
And they're like, Chris, shoot this one. Try and hit that thing. And he's like, okay. And he's thinking, like, they're trying to hit the head. He's like, whatever. You've never seen such joy on a human's face, because he shot it and it was like probably the first time when you busted a nut.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, oh, like he's like, I did this.
Yeah.
And he's looking to us as if we didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah. Like, look what I did. I exploded. It was so good. I'm like, oh, I wish everyone could experience that.
Dude, that's so such a good move.
Those
to do
guys
for
are
a
beauties.
Dude, shooting just high-end weaponry, it raises testosterone.
Yeah, I believe it, man. Trust me, I believe
it's nuts.
Oh man, I love Eli so much. I think he's the first one of those guys I met. I think they invited Chris down to be on their podcast, those guys. And we went up for some pre-drinks before the Unsubscribe podcast. That pod's huge now.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Massive. They're doing live pods and shit.
Oh, I did the Austin one with them.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
God, I was fucking out of town.
Yeah, I came down just to do it. They're like, they're picking one of the pod favorite guests they're picking for each of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited me and Chris to do the Austin one. They're like, yeah, you guys are like top five favorites. So I'm like,
yeah,
fuck,
of course.
Crazy. So I did that, which was I'll tell you that off my own chaos. I might have been a bit out of control.
Let's go.
I mean, it was about 3 minutes in. I had no clothes on. I was in my I was out there in my underwear.
Yeah.
I had fucking subscribed to Wes Barker on my chest.
Yeah, like, dude.
It was fun. I think I don't know. I haven't talked to him since. now that you bring it up, but no, I went. So they invited Chris because, you know, Chris is a big deal on YouTube. So like, Chris, come be on our podcast 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I go there.
I think I remember this because I think it was around when I met you guys.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like this tag along. So we go for drinks before the podcast. And I was like, I don't think I'm invited on the spot. Like, I think I'm just the extra guy and I don't like being the extra guy. So I started just laying it down in at dinner, right? And just murdering with stories. And they're like, are you going on the pod? I'm like, well, if you want me, they're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like calling, get another seat, get another mic set up. Like,
let's go.
Get this guy. So I like bullied my way out of the pod.
Let's go.
It's the best though.
But that's awesome.
You know, I used all your AIM material there. So after that,
then you get to the pod. Right? Like, you guys remember that story about the Monty?
That was cool, right? Let me tell that again to the ones that don't know.
I fucked a moose. Dude, one of the things that I do just to make money is I can't say the specifics of where, but so on those radio station call-in shows, they've had them forever, but they'll set like a trap where they call a guy and they say, hey, this is Carol with Carol's Wine and Flowers.
Okay.
We just opened up in town and we're doing a promotion. We want to send a free bouquet of flowers to whoever you want, just to help, you know, promote our business.
Mm.
Do you want to send flowers to anyone? And the guy goes, you know, I don't know. All right, I guess send them to Katie and say, see you soon, babe. And then the person goes, well, actually, this isn't Carol from Carol's Wine and Flowers. This is Roseanne at 106.5 WBX. And actually, we've got your wife, Crystal, on the line.
Whoa.
And then she goes, who the fuck is Katie? And then the guy goes, no, it's not like that. She's who I work
so
with.
So funny.
So it's like this ambush stuff. So all of it is scripted.
Right.
It's all total bullshit and made up. And so they pay people to sign an NDA.
You're one of the actors.
So I do these all over and I pretend to cheat and get cheated on all the fucking time. And I call in and have these fantastical stories.
How do you draw that experience? It can't be from real life.
They have like a kind of guide.
Okay.
Where they tell you like basically what you're supposed to say.
You're just rewriting the script like now.
And then I freestyle some stuff. So I'm like a very prized person in this community because when I go on, I fucking crush
because
I'm funny. So I make it, my goal always is to try and get the other person to break so that we have to pause the recording.
Amazing.
So I say crazy stuff like, oh, well, you, just because I'm 5'3 doesn't mean I can't sleep with girls that are over 6 foot.
That's,
you know, just,
so
and just throw
good.
Out and say stuff like that. And then they get the sound bite and it goes great. So they've started putting me into more situations that aren't necessarily cheating, but are like scripted ones. So I had to do this one recently where I play a character and the gimmick is that they try and get a person on the phone to apologize. And the pressure of public apology means they'll forgive you.
Right.
So you come in and you say your transgression and then try and get the person on the line. So my character in this one is a blackout alcoholic that went to a golf tournament and then got naked and put a sock over his dick and was running around on the golf course and being like crazy and stuff. And so like, do you think that you could pull from experience for this? And I was like, buddy, I fucking gotcha.
Yeah, no problem.
Like it could not have been like just, it was the role of a lifetime.
God.
But it's like so funny doing all that stuff and just... Because you're pulling from your A material. And you're like, well, I can't burn any of my actual tags I use in my act on this.
Yeah.
But like, I got a story, you know?
So hang on. I'm trying to write two ships here. Do you do this from home then?
Yeah, over the
phone.
Okay,
because the other day you told me you were out of town for work. So I'm like, does he drive to these communities? Yeah. I'm like,
you have to call in from a local number.
Do you know how a cell phone works? I thought you were like, I got to go to Oklahoma for work. I'm like, I don't think you do.
No, I have another day job.
Okay,
it's like
okay.
A very weird day job. My I started working for my mom when I was in high school.
Right.
And she is a rep for manufacturing companies. So like Callaway, they make golf shirts and they have all these different brands under the big umbrella, but all of the golf shirts that Callaway does for corporate apparel. So if AT&T wants to get everybody at the AT&T store a nice Callaway polo with an AT&T embroidered on it, they go to a marketing company and they say, where do we get these? And then they come to us.
Huh.
So my mom covers all of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma. And I've worked for her since I was, you know, 16.
Damn.
So I'm 33 now. So I have like basically 17 years of experience, but everyone else in the industry is 50, 60, 70.
Right.
So I have like a super premium that I have all of this experience and can go in and do the job. So I make really good money.
That's
and
good.
I don't have like crazy hours. I mean, it's enough to get by on because I'm not doing it full time. But
Well, you still got to, you're doing your real thing.
Yeah, my real thing is comedy, but it's
exactly.
also, it's worked out nice because there's a lot of travel with it. So occasionally it pays me to go to Houston, and then I do shows in Houston, et cetera. So it's been, I feel like there's so many people in comedy that have something like that.
Yes.
That don't talk about it.
Yes.
And so like, oh, I'm just struggling to make it. It's like, dude, if I did not have a sweetheart hookup from just pure happenstance. And like, don't get me wrong. My mom dropped out of college. When my parents got divorced when I was two, she, without a college degree and with barely a high school diploma, went and worked her ass off working 80 hours a week to get where she is. Yeah. So like, she busted her ass. And so then I'm reaping some of the benefits by going and working for her. But like, I still do work.
So the thing that happens, you know, I think now is you're right. A lot of people have these secret sweetheart jobs that mm-hmm. they're getting by with, and they pretend they don't.
Yeah.
And then,
fuck you.
And then when they start, if it goes well and they start making it, then retroactively, they start telling you this sob story about having this other job, but they never let you know this along the way.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, motherfucker, that would have been nice to know at the same time when we're all struggling. When
we're all one to put a gun in our mouth because we don't have $50. You're like, well, I made 10 grand this week.
Like, I'm watching like how to tie a noose online, right?
Yeah.
And
you're hard.
Pretending it's okay. And I'm a bit open on my social media stuff about like, if you hear me on my podcast or whatever, I vent a lot about being broke,
mm-hmm.
right? And yet I'm in fucking Morocco paying way too much money for a fucking Sahara slaves.
Slaves.
I'm paying the slaves. When I think about it, they're not slaves. I paid them way too much.
Indentured servants.
God, there you go. That's the correct term.
Yes.
I think it is. I think it's, But yeah, so the, but I know I'm making enough money that I'm doing this to myself,
mm-hmm.
but I still don't want people to think it comes easy.
Yeah,
live very lavishly. I know that about me, mm-hmm. right? But that means I'm maxing it out.
Yeah.
And that means that some months when I had a gig canceled the other day, a theater show because of a fire, sometimes a fucking company decides to not hire you and you thought you had a $10,000 gig coming up.
And it's gone.
Or it's gone, right? Or
and you already paid all those non-refundable deposits in Morocco.
Yes.
And you're like, I just bought this person. I can't return a person.
No, you can't.
There's no returns at Moroccan Walmart.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You've been.
I bought a guy named Bill.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. No, it's fucked. So I'm always trying to be like, yeah, it's stressful as fuck. I want people to know the whole way it's fucked up. Right?
Yeah,
I don't want to be the guy that's after it all works out and be like, yeah, I struggled for so. Fuck you, man. Let us know. Instagram reality. Like, tell us both sides, you fucking idiot.
Dude, I grew up rich from my dad when I was like 8 or 9, like really started crushing it in the legal world.
Oh, wow.
So when I was
like scamming the legal system?
No, like just
like pretending he hurt himself a lot.
Well, so the thing is,
I know how it works in America.
He works, his whole niche was the intersection of state and federal income tax as it applies to low income housing. So if you're building a huge luxury apartment complex,
right?
If you make a small subsection of that Section 8 housing, and you subsidize it and you work with these things called CHODOs, which is a very funny name, but community housing development organizations. You can work with them and then you can get tax exemption for your entire property and save millions by giving poor people two rooms.
Amazing.
And so he helped all of these giant developers game that system until the 2008 collapse.
Right.
So from when I was 8 to 16, we were we weren't wealthy, but we were rich. Yeah. So I had a newish car. We lived in the first house that we moved in from when we moved from Dallas to the city called Southlake was modeled after the mansion from Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
So we lived in Tara from Gone with the Wind. Like, it was crazy.
Damn.
But so 18, I go to college. Dad's still doing pretty well. And then things start to fall off. And then from 18 to 25, I got like I had very little financial support and was out doing things on my own. And then like, started working for Cutco, the knife sales company.
Yeah.
So then for most of my 20s, I was just on my own. And I went from having this very sheltered, I had a credit card in my wallet that was connected to an invisible bank account in the sky that paid for everything.
Right.
To like, oh, should I have to pay rent?
Oh, right.
I want to go and eat a nice meal and I have $17.
Exactly.
And thankfully I had a buddy who spent like 6 years in prison. So he'd had the opposite experience. So he taught me how to grocery shop at Dollar General.
Oh, whoa.
And like go to Walmart to live for a week. So I learned all that in my early 20s. And then like I got into developing software and like I got into doing like small business like consulting and started to have some stuff go my way. But since I was like when I was 27, when I started comedy, was the first time I W-2'd six figures. And it was like, oh, wow, I made real money this year. And it was the most miserable I ever was.
When you're, what a dope feeling, though, when you're 27, you're like, okay. And when you tag that and you're like, oh, I could do this. And you, thank God you checked in. You see how unhappy you are. And
yeah.
You're like, well, clearly this isn't the road to fulfillment. Some people don't like they it's longer till they like touch some money where they're like, this is like, oh, I see the promised land, right? So when they get there, sometimes they're late 30s, 40, whatever. They can't turn around.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, I'm still in my 20s. I could turn this ship.
Thankfully, like, I think that that's one of the benefits of having all of the rich experiences growing up is that it was like, dude, I had unbelievable experiences and staying at the Waldorf Astoria in New York and eating fucking Thanksgiving dinner in a tavern on the green in Central Park and sitting in a private box for the Macy's Day Parade and like Christ, all that stuff. Dude. Like that, I went back and I was trying to talk about it on stage. It's so not relatable. But if I wanted to redo,
well, it looks like you're lying.
My Thanksgiving vacation from seventh grade in today's money, it would cost like $170,000. And it's like last year I made $27,000. So it's like I could spend like 7 years of money to have this 6 day vacation that I had when I was 12 that meant nothing. It's like when I started to make a little bit of money then, and I was like, oh, I can afford to go on a vacation. I can afford to go to sit front row at a concert I like, and I can do all this stuff. And then you go and do it, and you spend the money on it, and you're like, this still fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I did this, and this was good. And then I go home, and I have to go to work on Monday to do this again. I'm just doing that to do this.
Yeah.
And I was just miserable, and I had no idea what to do. And that was when I found stand-up, thank God. But, like, it just since stand-up, like, I had a really cool job in LA coaching loan officers, but it's also like people will discount stuff. I had a fucking perfect score on the SAT and was like a child prodigy and was supposed to be something.
Yeah.
And then I flunked out of everything and failed out of all of it and was broke and destitute for all these years. So it's like, I haven't had like an easy route, but I've had like a lot of very fortunate blessings.
I think it's good to, but as long as you're, I think it's just as long as you're open about it along the way, like even it goes deep for most people. Like there's all these asshole celebrities that write books. They didn't even write the book. It's a ghostwriter.
Oh my God. Worst.
I'm like, you can't even be honest about the most basic thing. No one's going to not buy Barack Obama's book because he didn't pen it himself. Dude, just say Barack Obama with
The Audacity of Hope, whoever. Written by a poor person.
Boom. Yeah. Fine. I paid a poor person $200,000 to write my book. Everyone's going to be like, dope. Because we know you sat there for hours dictating and talking. Yeah. We know it's your voice. So, okay.
Yeah.
So, but they don't. The ego gets in the way. No. And it's like, man, fuck it.
Yeah. So I got into motivational speaking. So little thing, I was working for a guy that was like a VP of Goldman Sachs. I develop a software company in my mom's industry. I sell 50% rights. It's a whole thing, but I build this software company and it's going to be huge and it's going to make me all this fucking money. And all the projections are that now passive income, I'll make like $200,000 a year.
Jesus Christ.
So life-changing money. And I have all these things set up. And then I pitch to this dude. He buys in. I pay a dude on Upwork to code it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'm 7 or 17. I'm several $1,000s into the project, and his building where he lives gets hit by missiles and he has to move countries.
Holy fuck.
And then he's like, I lost everything. I don't have anything that we worked on. You'd have to pay me to start over.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I don't have missile insurance. Like, yeah. You know, like, fuck. And to me, this was life-changing money. But to the guy that had bought into the company, he was like, that's dead in the water, new project.
Oh my
so we move
God.
On. So I started doing stuff for him. But then in the middle of that, I started consulting and helping other people. And all their businesses started blowing up. Then I got into this one thing called the Miracle Morning. I lost all this weight. All my shit like just really like got together. And then I got involved with them. I was in their documentary. And I'm involved with that community. And then I start speaking and training and doing all this stuff. And then the more inculcated I got into motivational speaking, the more I realized that outside of a few very special individuals like this dude, Hal, most of these people were frauds. They were miserable.
Oh.
They had no idea what they wanted to do with their lives. They had no idea how they got to where they were. They had some luck thing happen, or they had rich parents, or they had a weird niche blow up. But they have excess money and no passion or drive. and they channel that into a ghostwriter for a book or one of these things that they can sell and create an ecosystem. And then they start becoming influencers and speakers without ever really being anything or doing anything. And then they go up there and like what you were talking about, they retroactively are like, my struggle, I was in a loveless marriage and I didn't know what to do. And I just, one day I was sitting by the pool at my house. It's like, I thought you were broke. It's I was sitting by the pool at my house. And my mate came out. It's like, what? Hold on. You know, so they have these soft stories.
No, but she had a limp.
She did. And I had to fly her whole family from Guatemala. And it's I had to give up yogurt parfaits for 3 days just so that Esmeralda could be here. You know?
My surrogate was 9 months pregnant at the time. It was so stressful. You have no idea what that takes on me.
Really just, we were synced. So I was just, pickles and ice cream and problems. You know, it's just like, and you just want to put a gun in these people's mouths. And the whole time, it's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Oh my God.
And then I found comedy and got out of it. And I still am close with some of those people. But that whole thing is there's just this farce of people. They get any kind of anything and they're like, this is it.
Yeah.
I did the thing. And then they rest on it. It's like, fuck.
Goddamn.
I don't know. Sorry for making this about me.
No, I liked it. I didn't know this about you. And it's right on topic. I love it.
I started and then I got like 3 chapters in, and by like chapter 4 I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, I don't know anything and you don't know anything, just fucking go do shit.
I can't follow this advice, fuck that.
What fucking advice works for anyone? I think everything in motivational speaking, all of the most brilliant and successful people, and I like, do you know who Sean Stevenson is?
No, I'm straight.
He was a little he was a little midget guy. He was built like Vern Troyer and unbelievable speaker, but he had like a real story of overcoming. And like he, like there's some of these like brilliant people like that.
Some people are worthy of having a career.
There are some people that write stuff that makes sense, but like all of their framework, Brendan Burchard has a thing called the Motivation Manifesto. That was a book that I read, and I remember reading it, and it very much felt like ChatGPT before ChatGPT.
Okay.
It was just fluff and nonsense and weird metaphors. Do something. Just do anything consistently and your life will be better.
Any of these fucking consult or self-help books are the same as like any personal trainer. They're not going to tell you anything you don't already fucking know, but maybe they can tell it to you in a way that makes you feel good or a way that you want to hear it. I don't know. So it's just like, if it makes you feel good, I guess it'll sell. But dude, like
the psychological trick behind Tony Robbins and the reason that Tony Robbins and Unleash the Power Within and that entire thing works is because it's expensive.
Interesting.
People will go to the ends of the earth to try and afford this thing that they've heard works. And then because they have put so much skin in the game, they do not have a psychological output for it to not work.
They have to make this work now.
So it's like placebo effect maximized by scarcity complex. So he figured out how to prey on two very human emotions and then monetize that into something with actual results.
Do you think that if you could get someone to pay $100 for a ticket to see you do comedy, if that audience would enjoy it more than somebody paid $20 to see you do comedy because they're into it for deeper?
I think
if you could get them in the door, I wonder.
It's tough. So like Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle did that at Stubbs during the big shutdown of everything. Yeah. They did a show there and it was $1,000 a table. And that was like a huge big thing. And it was and it became like a flex to have tickets to that show. And it was a whole big status symbol in Austin. But then a bunch of people that I talked to that went to the show that were like these rich socialites in Austin, they went and they're like, everybody got fucking hammered. No one was really doing like their best job. Really sucked. If they went to a $20 show and that all happened, they would say it was the greatest thing ever and they really let loose.
Opposite.
But they paid $1,000 and now they're like, well, I didn't get $1,000 worth. So like, there's two sides of the coin. But when you're going to a comedy show, your expectation is entertainment.
Right.
And so there's a maximum level of entertainment, which is Fast and the Furious. So like if you charged more money, you could be as Fast and the Furious entertained as you want. But
isn't it crazy?
But with self-help, there's demonstrable results in your life. So the more you pay, the more there's dividends in that. when you say I paid $3,500 to go to UPW in Orlando and then I came back and my sales numbers tripled and I took home a $16,000 commission check,
boom.
It didn't have anything to do with anything at UPW. It's that you went there and put all this money in and then came back and were like, I got to get on my shit.
Yeah.
And all of the fears and things that I had before. Nothing he said was consequential whatsoever. It was the act of paying and going.
I did a pyramid scheme in university for a couple of years. It was called Quickstar, I think.
Okay.
It was like a, you know, sort of off the back of Amway and bullshit, right?
Yeah, they were huge.
And so it's called Quickstar. And I did it for 18 months or whatever. And I miss it because I miss going to these conventions and the feeling I'd leave with.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, this isn't real. They never once said anything that I didn't already know about how to sell more shit. We all know all the basics, right? You've heard it 1,000 times. But there's something to be said about going and surrounding yourself by 200 people that feel the same way. You all put in your fucking $500 to listen to this guy that's richer than you, just stole your money,
yeah,
tell you about it. But for some reason, that feeling, even though you know it, doing it, people are like, you didn't know you were in a pyramid scheme? Of course I did.
Yeah.
Right? But I was just trying to get to the top of it.
Yeah, I just wanted to have like, the under.
Yeah.
I just wanted the under.
We don't know what it is, but it felt so good to be there. And I go away so hyped. And I wish I could feel that again.
There's a paradigm of modern thought that says that people are not working to solve modern problems. They're working so that they no longer apply to them.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so the idea is that the modern man fighting in capitalism, woman, whatever, you're not going to try and solve, you know, income inequality. You're trying to make enough money that you are an outlier.
Yeah, and that's
you
what
don't
I'm trying
care.
To do.
And so it's
I like that.
There's something that's very fascinating about like that individualism in our current culture that I think it, like, Scientology is the perfect blend of a pyramid scheme and religion.
Sure.
Because it took all of the Jesus stuff and all of the sales stuff and married them.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you can get to the pyramid of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now you're really cooking. Yeah. Not only do you have unlimited life, but then there's financial gain. So there's something very fucky about all of that.
Is this a Scientology pod? Is that why you brought me here?
So,
is this the slow pitch? I've been working on this new trick I have to show you before we leave.
Okay.
I don't know if we're wrapping it. I don't want to wrap, but I just want to make sure I get this in because it's brand new.
Okay. So your camera is there. Wide angle is there.
It's okay. It's more of a mentalism thing.
Oh, God. Is this going to be like Red Hammer?
I don't know what that means.
That was
like
the first mentalism thing I ever learned is you have people do.
Oh, yeah. No,
one plus
like
five,
no.
2 plus 4,
it's
3 plus 3.
It's an advanced version of that. I won't.
God, this shit. So do you know about NLP?
Yeah, of course.
So that's.
I've been doing it to you the whole time.
listeners that don't know, NLP is neuro-linguistic
nipples,
practitioner.
Lips, and pussies.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I learned a different one. Okay. Yeah.
The dude that wrote that book is actually the ex-husband of the first person I lived with when I moved to Austin. Oddly enough, but the whole NLP thing, there's like the mirroring stuff. When you see people that know NLP and use it,
yeah, it's
and
crazy.
You have a base understanding of it, and you see people actively using it, and you know what they're doing, it's one of the grossest feelings.
And it's the grosser still that it works.
Every day, it works every time.
And you're like, oh, this is
every
gross.
Time. It's,
and it's, and dude, it's written right into all of, read the game about pickup artistry.
Yeah.
And watch these sleazy, gross, ugly ass dudes pick up chicks using these techniques that sound gross. They read gross on the page. They look gross in real life. And the effects work. And that makes it so gross.
Oh, dude, you get Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
You get a guy that's not as bad looking as the traditional pickup artist.
Yeah.
Learns the 48 laws of power. And then it suddenly is dropping hard R's on Twitter with no recourse.
Oh, buddy. To drop
I'm getting back into NLP.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we should. Okay. I have notes. I have a note in here. It's a list of celebrities.
Okay.
There's 30 of them.
Okay.
They're not all celebrities. They're all names you'll recognize.
Okay.
But not like traditional celebrities, all of them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'll show you the note yet. You're going to pick a number between 1 and 30 eventually.
Okay.
And then we're going to find the corresponding name.
Okay.
That person I'm going to send something to. I'm going to send them a dirty DM or text or whatever. Anything, or no, it doesn't have to be dirty.
It does.
You tell me what it's going to say.
Sup, slut muffin.
What's up, slut muffin?
Yeah.
Sup,
I've been wavering on this. I would like to hear your opinion. Okay. I've been doing this with my guy friends. So I always, with all of my guy friends, I will use terms of endearment that are as raunchy and disgusting as possible.
Yeah.
Slut muffin is a very good one because it's cutesy but gross. But I've been thinking of changing to bag of cum. What's up, you bag of cum?
I like slut muffin.
Okay.
Right, because I used to go cum dumpster a lot.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
too far. Bag of cum is less, but slut muffin's so
There's
cute.
An amazing comedian, Ella Gale, that has a joke that she's not a cum dumpster. She's a cum landfill. And it's one of the that's best jokes I've ever seen. One of the seen. Best, Shout yeah. out Ella.
Fucking Ella.
All right, so we're going to pick who we're going to say so what's yeah, up slut so muffin to.
What's up slut?
Slut muffin.
Slut muffin, sorry. Okay, give me the number between 1 and 30. 1 to 30.
15.
All right, so
I did 6 plus 9.
I got to. I want you to. You have to. I mean, it's on my phone. I want you. This is my notes, my set list. I do list of celebrities. Okay.
All right.
So you take this list and read out a few of the first ones, and go to 15 or whatever one you said.
All right. Kim Kardashian, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Cruise, Meghan Markle.
So let's go down to yours.
15 is Caitlin Eaton. I don't like that at all.
Is that your mom's name?
No.
Oh, fuck.
But it's very close.
God damn it. I almost had it.
That's still very upsetting.
I had to deep dive your Facebook.
How did you know I would pick 15? Well, that, I didn't even know I would pick 15.
I know, that's the amazing part of the trick.
I did 6 plus 9. But I wanted that's a joke. I tried to pick a joke answer.
I knew the number you'd get to. I just tried it in your mom's name. Fuck,
it's Lori.
Why did you have Caitlyn's a supermom on your Facebook album from like 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Dude,
I had the Caitlyn spelled like that.
Supermom.
Caitlyn spelled like that is the girl that I took to freshman prom.
Fuck, that's who it's. Oh, it's Caitlyn's mom. Goddamn. There's an album titled Caitlyn's Mom, and I thought you meant Caitlyn was your mom.
No, that was.
Cocksucker.
Yeah.
Delete the footage. I knew
that's so crazy though that I
knew
was
15.
I was thoroughly perplexed by the same last name.
Fuck.
I read the other famous and then I got my last name. I was like, whoa, Wes.
So normally
who's Caitlin Eaton?
Normally it just says I know a number, so I just says your mom.
Yeah.
Because that's very funny. Your mom joke is always funny.
Yeah, I would have laughed very hard.
I know. And I thought for Mike, I'll go a little extra deep dive.
Yeah.
And I'll try and name his actual mother.
That's crazy.
Fucking that Lori cunt bitch asshole
slut. Oh, hold up. But that's.
Sorry, Caitlin. Yeah. That Caitlin.
How did you.
God damn it.
That's so
I'm a hack.
That's such a funny thing to flub. To get everything right, but just the smallest little piece.
The simplest research. I could have texted any one of your friends also, to ask Mike's mom's name.
On Facebook, if you go to the about and it says about the person, it will show you mom, Lori, and dad, Michael.
Shut the fuck up.
Those are all listed on there.
Oh, I should have just clicked that then.
Yeah.
I was like, I better scroll these albums.
Yeah, that sucks for you. You had to look dude, a lot I took, of dumb
I took
shit.
A 35-minute shit.
Oh, that scrolling sucks. Through. Legs were numb.
I saw you at every weight.
Not every weight. Never under 220.
No,
I'll tell you that
no,
much.
No. I was going to say you've been pretty consistent, actually.
Yeah.
I God damn my, it. I'm sorry. I ruined the whole podcast.
So funny.
I'm glad I did it later. I should just leave it as your mom. I'm never going to risk it again.
That's so funny.
It's so funny to me because I'm like, it's so easy for me to know what number someone will pick, always. Which is the amazing part of the trick.
Yeah.
But I get hung up on something stupid.
That
like
is
a
the,
fucking
the
idiot.
Craziest
like
part
an
of
idiot.
This is that you got that, but then you made an oopsie on the little part, the part I could do.
Yeah.
You made an oopsie on that part, and then you did the crazy magic part.
Magic's easy. Comedy's hard. That's what we decided today. God damn it.
last time Chris was here, he tried to teach me the straw moving and the levels of perception.
Did you not get it?
Not only did I not get it, it is on the same level as when I fucked up the magic guessing number game. Justin will appreciate this. So they taught me like so you're gonna say a number on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I forgot. Okay, I can't do the trick. I can't do the trick. But you mouth the words at the same time as you go, 13. Yeah, that's what I was saying. So I did the same thing. Because I never know when they're going to say it, and I start too late. So I did it to Derek Dimfel. But I was like, all right, Derek, you're going to say a number on the count of three. I go, 1, 2, 3. And he goes, 48. I go, wrong.
That's way better.
I just fucked up the whole trick. So with the straw thing, when you change the levels that you're looking at, you lose object permanence for a second. So you can move a straw, and then you can throw it without them really seeing you throw it. And every time, I just kept going... They go, where? What the fuck?
You don't throw it, you drop it. You don't even throw it, you drop it. That's it. fucked it up. It's supposed to look like this, Mike. It's fuck. I got it's like this, right? And you show this camera over here, and you drop it as you do it, right? But you just wear a black shirt, so when you grab it, then you oh, let me show you, and then you just let it go, and then it's gone. That's supposed to.
I was throwing it.
And then at the bar, it's good, but if you do this, everyone's
like, they all go, "What the fuck?" I think, "Well, Chris did it. Chris did it. And you were all amazed."
I know Chris taught Shane Gillis the same thing at the bar, and Shane nailed it. But I think he accidentally just dropped it because he did not know why. He was amazed too. He's like, "Whoa, where the fuck did I go? This guy is unbelievable." And Chris like, "He's really good." I'm like, "I don't think he got it at all."
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Just two tarts fucking up completely different directions.
100%. Yeah, you just side by side be great. Both so impressed each other.
Whoa, where'd you just go?
Fuck. Amazing.
Oh, man. So, what do you got coming up? Where can people come support?
I only got smalls left on Mike's merch. I got six hats. So, pick those up. No, so I'm putting all my content on Facebook these days.
Okay.
Me and my wife just making content.
Yes,
and
it's
making
adorable.
Money. It's so cute.
It is
and
very
the internet
adorable.
Seems to like it. So yeah, and I'm on tour. I'm literally just adding dates every fucking day. Every week I add a new date. So the big ones I'm trying to move right now are Chicago, Tampa, Philly. Those are like my three big ones that are coming up that I want to fuck
up. So Stunt Magician on Instagram?
Stunt Magician everywhere, yeah.
Can you Google one more thing for me, Justin? I just realized who your doppelganger is.
Oh, Morgan Wallace.
Season 5 of Great British Baking Show.
No.
There's a baker
J. J.
named
Watts.
Steven.
Say J.J. Watts.
Yeah, or J.J. Watts.
Say
no.
A young Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. So Steven, S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
I've never heard this one. I'm really excited.
He's my favorite baker of the season. And spoiler, he's
some guy named Morgan Riley as a hockey player. And everyone says, "Oh, yeah, this guy's way handsomer than me. I like this guy."
Oh, look.
I used to have teeth like that until I went to Mexico and bought teeth. Go buy teeth, dude.
Steven, you got to get teeth.
Oh, wow. I can see that for sure. Yeah.
Also, come on. The boy pulled a season of Great British Baking Show.
That's pretty not
pretty good.
Surprising
pretty
for
good.
Anyone.
But yeah.
I don't think, actually. I can see that. I'll take that. I like that one. That's a good one. He looks like a guy that's got some money. He should come to the
He looks like Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball at the end when
he
cleans
really does.
Up.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk. That's what I'm talking about. His arms are way too hairy. I don't like that. That's gross. Who has hairy arms?
He's a brilliant baker, though.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Did you ever watch Great British Baking Show?
Yeah, I love it. Every time it's on, I do watch it. I love it. I've never made it that deep, though. Like, I watched season and a half. Ooh. And then I call it quits.
Man, I could watch that for hours. The problem is, though, I watch it.
But
and
you
then
need a VPN, don't you?
I use a cracked service.
Oh, my God.
I have a...
You have fucking smelling salts.
Yeah.
And Napster.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I use LimeWire, you know. Kazaa, BearShare, you know.
No, I should watch it. My wife loves this shit. But I should... Yeah.
Dude, Prue is the fucking best. The old lady with the gray hair, it must be worth the calories. It's like, bitch, you get it. She got the pulse. It's like, it's fucking dreadful. Stodgy, kept everywhere. Yeah, then he gives you the handshake, and you're like, my parents love me, or whatever.
Yeah, that is a better show than this show. You're right.
Yeah. Go watch Great British Baking Show. Follow at Stunt Magician.
Please do. Thank you.
Wes Barker on Facebook. And this
See you
has
at
been
a show.
Highly soon. Come to a show. Goodbye. That was a good one.
That was fun, man.
Dude, that was...